Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. As has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me pray before we look at that passage. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have offered us rest, true rest, to be found in you through the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray now as you look at this, we look at this passage, you'll be helping us to desire that rest more and more, that it may shape our whole lives. Amen. I wonder if you think a little bit like this when you think, this is entitled to why I don't need a holiday. So I thought I'd think about how may we view holidays. And for this, I've got some beanbags. Now, normally in life, we may have something on our plate. So we have one thing. And we just throw it up in the air. We're fine. You know, you might even be able to preach a sermon while throwing this one difficult thing up in the air. Might be work. Everything's fine. And then something else comes along. Okay. You're throwing two things up in the air. Work and looking after the children. And you think, oh, this is all right. And then a third thing comes along. Maybe the car breaks down. And you're trying to juggle three. And then another thing comes along. And suddenly you just drop them. And you cry out, I need a holiday! And perhaps, as you see from my beanbags on the floor, that is how we think about our rest and our life. We start to try and juggle as many things as we can. At some point, the balance sort of tips over, and we cry, I need a holiday. And I want to challenge us that if we're following the Lord Jesus, that doesn't need to be our attitude to rest. Imagine this. If someone who wasn't a Christian, didn't believe and trust in the Lord Jesus, looked at your holidays over the last 5 years, you gave them a schedule, you gave them, even if you're willing, the finances put into it, would they look at it and say, that's a bit strange. These holidays all look a bit different. You might give them the itinerary of what you did. Maybe you wrote down everything you'd done over the holidays and they think, that's a bit odd. Do our holidays look different? Would someone look at them and say something different about the way we think about holidays? I want to challenge us that if we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus, then our attitude to rest, our attitudes to holidays should look different to those around us. But first of all, as I've done with the illustration, I want to show us, why do we think like that? Why do I feel throughout my time so stressed that I suddenly cry out, I need a holiday? What is that telling me about my heart and my relationship to God? Well, I think it tells me this. It tells me that I work nonstop because of I want to be able to be in control of everything, because I think I'll be stress-free with that. So everything in my life becomes reliant on me. I long to be completely self-reliant. I can do everything. I have everything. I control all the factors in my life. All the juggling balls are in my hand. I'm in control. But at some point, we drop them. And so we find out we're not completely self-reliant. That's the tension. So the tension is, I want to be able to do everything, but I know I'm not completely self-reliant. If you want to know that you're not completely self-reliant, try not sleeping for a long time. Try not eating for a long time. Try not drinking water for a long time. You'll find you're dependent on things. We can't control everything. We are dependent. And those two tensions play in our lives because we think that if we can control everything, we'll be stress-free. We'll be true rest is just having control over everything. And yet we find we are incapable of it. And so we find that we start to get worked up about it. And we get to a point where we just cry out, I need a holiday. And I want to challenge us, and I think this passage challenges us, it says that true rest is giving up on the illusion you can be self-reliant. It's completely giving up on the idea we can be in control and trusting in God's promises. So my first point is this. Watch your hearts to enter God's rest. So we need to have an eye on our hearts. In verses 15 to 19, we hear this story of the people of God. It's actually, if you go back in your Old Testament, it's Exodus into Numbers. And we see that they had heard and rebelled. And they were these people that had led out of Egypt. Now, if I was them, imagine this. You were walking out of Egypt. You'd just been in slavery. You'd seen the 10 plagues. Moses, you get to this river, this big sea, and you hear behind you that there's an army coming to kill you. And you look at the sea, and you look at the army may be further away, but you think about the army, you look at the sea, army, sea, and your only conclusion is, well, I've had it. And then Moses stands up, and he lifts his arm, and you think, oh, what's he doing now? And the sea parts, and you walk through it. Walls of water side by side, these people walk through. And then you see the army coming charging through, and you think, well, that's fantastic. We provide an escape route for a long line of people with families and children that can't move very fast, and now chariots is going to run through this and cut us down. And then the sea shuts, and you're safe. And then you go off into this land, and God has promised you'll get this land, and you get to a point, and then you send some spies out to look at the land. This is what you do. You're on a military contract. You send the spies out. Dun, dun, dun. And they come back and they say, oh, there's some tall people. They look stronger than us. We can't do it. And they doubt God's promises. They didn't trust that God was strong enough. They rebelled. They were the ones that perished in the wilderness. The first generation of the ones that came out, they perished. And we may think, how could they perish? How could they? You've just seen, you know, in your lifetime, the sea part. How could you not doubt God's promises? How could you disobey the Lord? You failed to enter his rest because you lacked his lack of trust of his promises. Now, I want to explain why I think rest and trust are really linked. To get us to understand why trusting the promises would enter the rest. And that would be restful for the soldiers, for the Israelites. A relaxed Israelite soldier taking the promised land would think about these two things. One, victory is assured. The promise of God, I will take the land. Being a soldier, the scariest thing is we might lose and die. But if I know victory is assured and I trust that promise, then I enter the land and I'll have rest. If I trust that even if I die, then I'll be with the Lord, then I'm at peace. Because there's nothing that can take that away from me. I'm trust the promise, and so I'm at rest. And then I will also carry on, as it said the pastor, enter God's rest, the land, in that situation. But what we see clearly here, and this is how this section ends, it says, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. The promise of rest, of entering God's rest, still stands. Now, not a land rest for us, but an eternal rest, a rest of knowing the Lord. And the passage says, be careful. So our hearts are prone to not trusting in the Lord. Our hearts are prone to turning the other way. Our hearts are prone to leading to that buildup of stress and that current cry for a holiday, because we think that will fix it, rather than trusting in the promises of the Lord. So maybe I doubt that belief in Jesus brings me rest. So I work really hard to make sure I'm okay, to make sure I feel safe. Financially, I'm secure. We ask ourselves, God, are you sure I don't need a new car? Are you sure, God, I don't need to go on the overtime list? Are you sure, God, I don't need to volunteer at church in every capacity? Are you sure I don't need to see the world because the new creation won't be as good? Are you sure? This is what our hearts are prone to. So, if we want to enter the eternal rest God's promised, we need to watch our hearts. If we want rest now, we will need to keep watching our hearts. Because the only way we'll know true rest is if we trust the promises of God that they are true and assured. And then I can relax. I can know that money is not going to be the end of the world. You know, if I don't earn enough, it's fine. I still know the Lord. He still walks with me. We may fear being alone, but I know I'm never alone because I walk with the Lord. Jesus promises to be with us. Perhaps I feel like I need to somehow have a prestigious reputation, so I leave behind a legacy. I don't know why, I have this faint dream. If I get a Wikipedia page, I would have succeeded in life. if someone types in my name and it comes up with Harry Frost Wikipedia, I think, oh, I'm on Wikipedia, I've made it. But we don't need that. We need to trust that the promises of God are true, that those things don't matter. And so, my next point is this: God's rest is true rest from our work. We're going to just go to then to the second half. And I'll come back to the middle in a moment. The second half, it says, for anyone who entered God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did. So God's work, you may think, well, if God has rested from his works, then surely the world wouldn't exist anymore. So this work that God was doing is his creation work. So God created the world and then he entered rest. Okay, he's still sustaining the world, obviously, because if he wasn't, it would just collapse. And he still provided a saving way for us through Jesus. So God's works, his creation work has rested. But what does it mean to rest from our works? Well, it is a rest from the need of trying to save ourselves. It is that rest from constantly trying to feel like we need to prove ourselves before God. It's to realize actually that it's all the things I've done wrong that separate me from God, but it's also to recognize I cannot pay him back. So even my good deeds that I think, oh, somehow can earn myself right with God, they are worthless. In Philippians, Paul says they are like rubbish. Okay, it's to recognize that actually I cannot earn my salvation. I cannot work it out. I cannot do enough to be right with God. It's to rest from the work of trying to prove myself before him. To trust the promise I'm right with God only through the Lord Jesus. So how am I going to grow in trust for that? How am I going to come to trust the promises of God so that I can enter, I can know this rest? Well, I was thinking about holidays, as this is about I don't need a holiday. I was wondering, what is the first thing you pack when you go on holiday? Now, I'm silly, so obviously the first thing I say is underwear. But I think it's probably quite important, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, if you don't have underwear, you're in a bit of trouble. But I would challenge you to say, what about the first thing being your Bible? What about the first thing when you're packing your books, as some people do, you're packing your Kindle and you're looking to download a new book, what about a Christian book? What if our rest was not centered around trying to escape from the juggling balls? What if it was focused around growing in love and trust for the promises of God? See, in the Old Testament, it's quite interesting. When you read it, a lot of the time it says, This is the Lord God who brought you out of Egypt, who saved you. And constantly when God is referred to, the people of God are told this over and over again. And you think, oh, come on, you've got to have got it by now. What does that tell us? Well, it's telling us their hearts didn't. They didn't get the promises. Why is it daily I need to be told, the Lord Jesus died for me. The Lord Jesus has made me right with God. I do not need to fear what people think of me. I do not need to fear that I may not have enough. I don't need to fear that. It's because we are so forgetful. It's not because, you know, I want to recycle every sermon to save me time. It's because we're forgetful. And so even our holidays, even that time we take for holidays, why not center them around having an opportunity to learn more about God and more about what it means to trust him? I would encourage you, this should be a daily thing we should be doing. But as we do take holidays, when we do, center them around God. You have more time, surely. You're more relaxed. Why not spend more time in prayer? Why not spend more time looking at his word? Why not spend more time reading about his book? Why not learn to rest from our works and be watchful of our hearts? Keep watching those hearts. What is the rest God offers? It's that rest from trying to save ourselves. Verse 9, and this is back to verse 9, there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. I'm not going to go into detail about, you know, when the Sabbath is, what we should do with it, but the point of the Sabbath is it constantly reminded the Israelites they were dependent on God. It was a point, actually, not just to chill out and watch TV. It was a point to say, oh, God, I'm dependent on you. And it was even during the busiest seasons. In Exodus 34:21, it says this, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Okay. In ploughing time and in the harvest you shall rest. Now, I know not many of you work with farms, so we might not see this as a big deal, but if you didn't plough, you wouldn't have anything. So you can imagine there's an Israelite ready with his plough. I don't know what a plough looks like. I'm holding it with two hands. But there he is, ready with his plough. And he knows he needs to work really hard at this point. This is the big money time. This is, you know, my life, livelihood depends on it. And God says, seventh day you shall rest. Stop. Rest. And then the harvest time. I've got to gather all my food. It's the most exciting. It's the best. It's the time to get everything. You shall rest to know you are dependent on God and not on yourself. You shall rest. Now, I'm sure at times we've felt that busyness of life and we think we just don't, we're unwilling to rest. Why? Because our hearts want to be dependent on us. Our hearts are fickle. They want to depend on our own strength. We're worried about, can we trust the promises of God? But what was the point of the Sabbath? To point us back to our dependence on God, even in the busiest times. For us, I'd say that it's ultimately going to be centered around Jesus. He promises rest in Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for the heart, knowing that I do not need to be worried about all the things that I think matter. Because really what only matters is my relationship with God. And that is certain through the Lord Jesus. So I'd encourage you that over the summer, if you're having a time of rest, reshape it. Reshape it around God. Reshape it about, think of it as a time when you are going to grow in love for the Lord Jesus over that time. And plan accordingly. Take the things you're going to need to take. Think about him more. Use the time you have. Maybe spend a little bit less time out in the sun, if that's where you're going. A little bit less time doing the things you love to. Spend a bit more time thinking about Jesus. To make your rest God-focused rest. My next point is this. Rest is available now. So verse 4:2-4:7. Pick up on this idea of rest being available today. So God's rest and eternal rest being available today. Why is he telling us this? Why is he saying that God again set a certain day calling it today? And then he warns us not to harden our hearts. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter his rest, and since those who formerly had the good news, verse 6 proclaimed, did not groan because of their disobedience, there is a day called today. God's rest is on offer today. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus, there is still time to enter into his rest, to know God, and to rest from all those worries and concerns you have. In contrast to the disobedience seen by the Israelites, in contrast to them, there is rest available. They did not enter his rest, but the offer is still there, verse 6. It is still there. There is still a day called today when we can know God and enter his rest. But there is something important that we know in the Bible, that there will not always be a day called today. When the Lord Jesus returns, those who have trusted will enter eternal rest, and those who haven't won't. So while the promise of rest still stands, while there's still time to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, do so. While it's still today, let's enter God's rest. Again, it is a rest, a freeing from the worries, the concerns of life, to be able to put those juggling balls on the floor and say, Lord, they are in your hands. No more do I need to work those out. No more do I need to be self-reliant. I can be dependent on you. It is still available. Verse 11 leaves us with an instruction. It says, let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear make every effort and rest, something doesn't add up. Surely I don't make every effort to rest. That seems a bit strange. Although I did think about this. Actually, maybe we do, because I know that the week before I go on holiday is manic because I want to make sure everything is in place so that I can sort of put it down and not worry about it. So in day-to-day life, actually, while it sounds ridiculous, we sort of understand what that means. But for God's rest, it is also true. See, if as we saw in verse 4:1, if we know that we need to be careful, if we know our hearts are prone to turning away from God and to not trusting in him, then we are going to have to make every effort to enter his rest, to rejoice in him, to keep going with him. See, we had a Romania meeting, and we're planning to do devotions. I set a time for them. It was about 7:45 to 8:15. And at 8:15, we'd crack on with the children. One of the members made a good point, saying, well, normally the Romania team have a meeting. And so my immediate response was, well, we'll just sort of have to squish our devotion. To which someone spoke up and said, it's always the first thing to go. It's always the first thing to go. And I've been really struck by that. It's always the first thing. My prayer time is always the first thing to go so that I can do a bit more of this. Even then, the devotion time was the first thing to go so we could do a bit more work of ourselves. See, if my hearts are prone to give it up, then I need to make every effort to keep it there. So, to the shock and horror of some of the younger members, we move the time back. We'll start at 7:30 instead. The meeting is important, true, but it's more important we get our devotions in. So we're going to make sure it happens. Make every effort. Plan it. Put it in. Stick to it. Make it time that you say is completely not going to be interrupted. So this is the battle we face. If we've put our trust in Jesus, we'll be constantly fighting, our hearts desiring to become more self-reliant. And we know that in our attitude to our holidays, the fact we regularly cry out, I need a holiday. Or will we trust the Lord's promises? Will we rest on his instead? And of course, we ultimately know trust is difficult because I let go of control. That's the thing. If I trust someone else, I'm no longer in control of the situation. That other person is. And that could be terrifying if you trusted someone you know is unreliable. But we are trusting the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, who has promised in Jesus we are right with him, and who is offering us true rest. True rest from the worries and the concerns. To actually be able to say, you know what? Lord, I don't need a holiday, because I have eternal rest with the Lord. I don't need to run away from the problems because I have rest during the problems because I know they're in God's hands. So come what may, I know that I walk with the Lord. I have him with me. If I put my trust in Jesus, I have him with me. And there's a home I'm going to. So that's what I want to leave you with today. Strive, make every effort to center each day, see there, around God. But particularly, as all of you may have booked some holidays, you may already have plans for holidays. Make those holidays about God. Put every effort into knowing God, so that when that person who doesn't believe in Jesus looks at maybe where you've gone or what your itinerary is, they say, that's strange. There seems to be this time that they've put in half an hour that they've dubbed prayer time. Maybe they put in an hour of reading about Jesus. Or perhaps they look at it and say, that's strange. They haven't gone so far. You know, I don't need to go very far to, you know, maybe they've just gone to, they haven't spent loads of money to see a really exotic place. Perhaps they haven't gone very far at all. Because they know that their true rest comes from God. And as we strive to do that, I want to pray for us, because it will be a challenge. Our hearts will be fighting. It will be a battle in our hearts. And so we will need to ask the Lord to help us. So let me pray. Dear Lord, I know that I am quick to rely on myself. And then I feel the stress of that. And so I cry, I need a holiday. Lord, please help us not to rely on ourselves, but to trust your good promises. To trust that we can rest from all the things that worry and frighten us, because we know we have a relationship with you. We know you are the living God. We know you are the God that parted the sea. We know you are the God that created the world. We know you are the God that who sent Jesus, his only son, to die for us. We can trust you are a good God who keeps his promises. So Lord, please help us to know that true rest, not to rely on our holidays, but to rely solely on you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.